If you'll put your trust in Him, He'll always be enough for you. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 in the New Testament. We've been focusing this month on the Word of God. And in particular, we talked about the old-fashioned King James Version of the Bible that we use. But there's a reason that we do that. And I want to deal with some of that this morning. Last week I preached to you on this. The Bible is the final authority. It's very important that we understand this. This world, our church, every family and every individual needs a final authority. Now the final authority is either going to be the church, which is not the church. The final authority is the Word of God. But it can't be the church. Well, what does churchianity or pick the different denominations? Are we just going to let them make the decision? A church, some church. Church, the church is not the final authority. Human reasoning is not the final authority. Experience. Well, I know what happened to me one day back in the back of the woods somewhere, something happened. We don't go by what happens in someone's human experience. It's either those choices or it's the Word of God. And I believe that the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, the way we believe and the way we live, is centered around the final authority of the Word of God. This morning I want to preach to you on the Bible, our authority. I think it's easy for us sometimes to view the church and things related to it and the Bible as sort of outside. In other words, we stand back and look at the Bible and say, well, sure, I believe the Bible is the final authority. I'm not just listening to the church. I want to listen to God's Word. Not just the preacher. I want God's Word. I don't want just what somebody says. I want what does God say about it. And that's fine. But sometimes we stand at such a distance, we don't accept the fact that the Bible is the one book that is our authority. It's not just the authority for the world. It's individual. Put your name in that. It's Terry's final authority. It is my authority. It's your authority. It's your family's authority. Our church, our school ministry, everything we do, the Bible is our authority. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me read verses 15 through 17 and we'll dive right into the main message. Speaking to young Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes, the reason the book is called Timothy, 2 Timothy, it's the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It sounds to me like he's saying this, Timothy, there's one thing you gotta have. You don't have to have a church building. You ain't gotta have pews. You don't have to have a sound system. You don't have to have a piano. You don't have to have a choir. Y'all did see we need a few more people in the choir. Y'all could join us next week. But you don't have to have all that, but you got to have the Word of God. A church has no foundation if you don't have an authority. A life has no foundation if you don't have an authority. And so I want to give you this morning a few things that maybe will help settle that issue for you in your own heart, that the Bible is your authority. The Bible is a collection of some 66 books. We speak of it as one book, but in actuality, it's a library of books. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 1,189 chapters. And I could go on for, 30 minutes here giving you different statistics about the Bible, but that would be sort of empirical evidence outside of what you actually know in your heart. I'm not talking about just getting a set of guidelines. I'm talking about letting it be the authority in your life. By the way, though the Bible is not primarily a book of history, when it speaks on history, it is accurate. The Bible is not a science book, but when it speaks on science, it's accurate. The Bible is not an English book per se. When it speaks on it, it speaks accurately. Whether it's history or prophecy or poetry or biography or philosophy or any other area of life, it may not be primarily a book for that, but when God speaks on those issues, He's right. 1,500 years before men even knew the earth was round and everybody thought it was flat, and if you go too far out yonder, right past Florida, you'd fall off of it. The Bible speaks of the circle of the earth, letting us know that it's a sphere upon which you're not going to fall off. Unless something happens to gravity today, we're all in pretty good shape. There are so many things. For years, even back during the Civil War days, which are some of the favorite ones I like to read about in history, when men were losing arms and legs and limbs and infection was killing them because people were not understanding that you needed to wash your hands in running water. Go back to the book of Leviticus and find out, again, thousands of years before the doctors figured it out, God told the people of Israel, wash your hands in running water. And I could go on and on that the different things that are found in the Bible to specify its accuracy. So this library of books is important. It's valuable, but it is an authority. The most recent parts are written about 2,000 years ago. The last book of the Bible written was the book of Revelation, written around 95 or 96 AD. So that's been over 2,000 years since that book was written. Is there accuracy there? Absolutely. None of it is out of date. My point is, the Bible, though written many years ago, is still relevant today. It's our authority. Furthermore, it is reliable. It is our authority. And it is a book given so that we can have a relationship with somebody. The Bible is not just a book of information. It's not just a religious book for us preachers to have something to talk to y'all about for an hour and a half. And by the way, I won't be that long this morning. But that's not what the Bible is. It's a book, a library of books with reliability and relevance so that we can have a relationship with the person that the book is about. I know people that are very conscientious, stern, solid in their foundation. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it from cover to cover, and I even believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. They can quote verses right and left, but I wonder sometimes, do they just know about the Bible as a book, or do they really know the person that the book is about? I doubt anybody ever write a biography about me, but if you read the biography, if there was one written about me, it'd probably be about 3 pages long. But after you finish reading it, you said, you know, that's wonderful paper that book's written on. And that's awesome ink, and I like that cover design. As a matter of fact, I counted the words. I know how many's in every chapter. If you knew, I even memorized the first chapter of the book about your life, Brother Sellers. Well, that'd be wonderful. But you could know all those facts and not ever know me. And so if you don't know me, you haven't missed anything. But if you read the Bible and you never know Jesus, you've missed everything. You don't just miss out in life, but you'll miss heaven by just that distance of what you got in your head, the facts, and what you don't have in your heart, the Son of God is the Savior. Brother Andy's not taking a book over there just to show them the book and explain to them from English to Chinese or Chinese to English. He's going over there to tell them about the person that the book is about. The Bible is our authority. So we learn to use it to tell people about the one that we put our trust in as Lord and Savior. I'll give you 3 quick points this morning and I'll be done. First of all, the Bible is our authority because it tells us about how our life is to be directed by the Bible. It's important to understand this, that God gives us His Word. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then he says this, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, in that sense, the Bible is enough to govern our lives. Every one of us needs direction. We might be choosing our career. We may be choosing a college. We might be choosing a job. We might be choosing what we're going to do, about where we're going to live, about whether or not we're going to have a family, how we're going to raise our children. Everybody needs direction. In other words, you need some guidance. You need the Bible. By the way, it's not just, and grandma had good ideas, and the preacher might have good ideas, and your neighbors may have good ideas, and the people you work with may have good ideas, but they are not your authority. The Bible is your authority. So I'm going to let the Bible govern my life. I'm going to let the Bible, can I put it this way, call the shots. Have you ever been to a professional baseball game? Did you raise your hand? You've been to a professional baseball game. There's this guy behind the catcher. He is called the umpire. And I know that we all enjoy it when somebody out of the dugout gets a fuss started with the umpire. And they fussing back and forth. And I like it back in the old days before they had instant replay. Because now all that does is extend the length of the 40-hour contest we know as a baseball game. And so what is good, if you go back to those days, you could get out. I remember, some of you remember Earl, I can't think of his last name, wasn't you, Brother Earl, but Earl used to coach the Baltimore Orioles. Y'all know the guy I'm talking about, because he gets in a bit. Earl Weaver. He was a baseball manager. Wes, you should have had that information right there. And he's up there. I remember seeing him go out there fussing with the umpire. He's kicking up the dirt like this. He pulled up third base and throw it out there on the middle of the field. Just pitch a fit. And do you know what? When it was all over with, the umpire did not change his call. Fuss and rage and pitch a fit. Call him names. Say something bad about his mama, like, your mama wears combat boots. Y'all remember when that used to be a bad thing? When I was in elementary school back in 1883, that's what people said. But anyway, I'm getting to this. It doesn't matter how much you fuss, how much you cuss, how much you spit, how much you rage, it didn't change what the umpire said. The Bible is your umpire. He makes the call. The Word of God makes the call in your life. Now again, we might disagree. There's a few things in the Bible, I read them, I'm not real keen on them. I don't necessarily like them because they govern my life. The Bible tells me there's some things I ought not be doing. And to be honest with you, there's some things that I can remember I kind of enjoyed doing, but the Bible said you can't do that. This is not an easy message, but bear with me. You need to let, but Brother Sellers, that's just your idea. No, I'm not telling you my ideas. I'm saying this, when you read the Bible and it says thou shalt not, then you ain't supposed to do it. And when it says thou shalt, then you're supposed to do that. Many of us are not guilty so much of sins of commission. Well, I killed somebody, I robbed a bank, I shot somebody. No, but we are guilty of sins of omission, things that we know is right to do, and we don't do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible is to govern our life. It's the umpire, it is the referee. And I've never met, we were just in a basketball tournament. By the way, our boys made the Final Four, their first year back in the conference. They made the Final Four. We were real happy and proud for them. But those umpires, I've never seen an umpire that didn't have trouble with eyesight. I mean, and including the referees at basketball games. They wear the striped shirt, but they still blind. You know it's really bad when the referee walks in the gym and he's got a C&I dog. You know that you're in for a tough time. Thank you, both of y'all, for catching that joke. I appreciate it very much. But anyway, I'm saying this much. They're governing the game. And whether you like the call or you don't like the call, sometimes you just got to live with the call. And sometimes the Bible might cramp your style and say, you don't need to do that. You need to do this. That's not the way to go. That's not the way to live. That's not the way to talk. That's not the way to guide your family. You know what's right, and this book will tell you. And you got to let it govern your life. And you got to let it have the final say. And if you disagree with the Bible, you're wrong. And if I disagree with the Bible, I'm wrong. If we disagree with the Bible, we're wrong. So we let it govern our lives, but we also let it guard our life. I've quoted to you earlier in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. David, the psalmist, knew this. If I get God's word in me, it'll help guard me from some things out there in the world and in life that can hurt me and ruin me. Every one of us in here, if it's not ourselves, I bet we all know somebody that made a wrong turn, a wrong decision, got involved with the wrong crowd, because they didn't let God's word guard them. Here's a good verse in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Which is another way of saying, in our way of down south of saying it, don't be running with the wrong crowd, because they'll get you in trouble. And there's a whole lot of people, maybe some of us in here could say, I know that to be the truth. You see, God's word's not just to govern us, it's to guard us. D.L. Moody said this, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's an important lesson and an important guideline to go by. One preacher said this, God gave us His Word to regulate our beliefs, to renovate our hearts, and to reform our lives. The Bible should be the dominant influence in your life and mine, because it governs us, it guides us, it directs us in all of our steps. Number two, I think we should also look at the Bible as our authority, in that it helps our love to develop. Valentine's Day is coming up. This coming Friday is the 14th. What makes for the strongest love? Oh, well, chocolate candy, a heart, some roses, all those different things that we do. But every husband has probably heard somewhere along the way well, that's just things. They want more than just things. It's not your wife doesn't just want things. By the way, the husband just wants things. It's not just about a gift that was bought. Not saying that that's not important. But it's not all just about the things. It's about a deep-seated love and care from heart to heart so that people understand it. What develops that? Well, you can take a class on it now. You can search on the internet. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the authority for explaining what love is all about is the Bible. You see, in the Bible, love is not just an emotion. Love is an active thing. It's not just a noun, it's a verb. God loved us. But the Bible says, for God so loved us that He gave. It's not just something that we have in our thoughts or minds and we stand back and we just brag about it. It's something that is enacted by the way that we live. My wife and I, we don't say, I love you to each other like 411 times a day. Now, I know some people do that, and if you couples do that, that's one, oh, I love you, I love you. Well, first of all, if we'd done it, that was about the first year, okay? After that, we just decided to stop. No, we just don't say it a lot. But I'm going to tell you this, when I come home and the house is clean, y'all better stay with me on this, I'm going to preach till 3 o'clock. I'm telling you right, when I come home, the house is clean, she's fixed supper, she's bought groceries, she's taken care of washing my clothes and drying them, and I've got four or five other things that out in the yard she needs to do. But when she gets the grass mowed and the fence post fixed up, I mean, listen, when she does all that labor, and I'm going to walk in and say, you don't love me. Well, why? Because you didn't tell me today. Why don't you just grow up and put on some big boy britches and realize this? They ain't got to say lovey-dovey, lovey-lovey, lovey-lovey all the time. When they love you and they do for you and they care for you and they provide for you, that is love. Yeah, but they didn't tell me. Quit pitching a fit like you're a two-year-old. Men do that and women do that. In this culture, I've been a pastor for a long time and I've had counseling sessions. Here's what a counseling session basically is. It's a woman coming and saying, my husband don't act like he loves me. Can we come to your office so you can straighten him out so he'll tell me he loves me more often and you can fix him? Can I say this? I've met your husbands. There ain't no fixing them. They is who they is. Well, he doesn't love me. Why? Because he don't ever tell me. Now, I would encourage you, gentlemen, tell her more often. And I would encourage the ladies, tell them more often. But at the same time, I'll say this much. Make sure that you show them. Don't have time to go into all of that. It's a love that's not just developed for other people, but a love we develop for His Word. Finally and lastly, is the Bible is our authority because it declares our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot read the Bible and not see Jesus in it unless you're not saved. I mean, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the more you read the Bible, the more you're aware of it. It informs you of Him, and it introduces you to Him. The kids are coming in now because we've got baptism in just a moment, so bear with me. It's their way of telling me I need to shut up. But anyway, I'll give you this last thing. Many years ago, this was true. Many, many years ago, there was a special event of a civic club that got together. There were literally hundreds of people that were there in that civic club. And during that time that they were there, they had two speakers scheduled to be there. You need some help? Okay, who are you looking for? She's right back there on the back. See her back there? I know you expect her to sit on the front row, but she sat on the back row. Okay? Take your time. We're not in any hurry. Just take your time. She was walking down like she's getting married or something, I'm telling you. That's all right. What's your name? What? Kristen? Well, it's good to meet you. Listen, be in here next time when we take up the offering, Kristen. That would help our offer. All right, let me tell you this, and we're done. These two preachers, or two people showed up for this special civic club. Hundreds of people were there. The first was an actor who was gifted with great eloquence, and he had chosen for his presentation the 23rd Psalm. And he stood up before the audience and with great eloquence and ability quoted, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And began to go through and went through every verse of Psalm 23. And when he finished, the crowd gave him a standing ovation. They stood and applauded and cheered. The next speaker up was an old preacher who got up and with trembling words chose Psalm 23 as what he would share. And he stood up and with almost tears in his voice quoted, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he went through the whole psalm. And when he finished, no one stood and no one applauded. They just sat there and tears began to go down many of them's cheeks. And when it was over with, the powerful rendition that that preacher gave, some people were talking later and they asked, "Man, they both chose the same thing. What was the difference?" He said, "Well, the difference was the actor knew Psalm 23, but the preacher, he knew the shepherd in Psalm 23. It's one thing to know your Bible as your authority. It's another to know the person that it's all about. Let's pray together.